I know what you're thinking. And yes, we will get to that part about Jesus' strong language today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's first take a look at the two examples that Jesus gives about building a tower and about going to war. Priorities and resources. These are the things that Jesus is highlighting here. If you're going to build a tower, Jesus says you sit down and consider the cost. And then you compare that to what you've got in the bank. Perhaps a tall tower would be nice. Lots of views, various rooms. Heck, each kid could have their own floor. It may be a lifelong dream to build a tower that reaches to the heavens and has all of the design aspects that you've imagined. But it's foolish to think that you can build beyond what you have the money to pay for, isn't it? We've seen people do just that. A youth center sits half empty because the investors underestimated the cost of materials. A shopping center fails because the vendors and tenants aren't able to pay the rent. A tower may be a priority in your mind and heart, but if the resources aren't there, it cannot become a reality. And the king who considers waging war with an opposing force, let's assume for a moment that the war is a just war and of noble purpose. The lives of innocent people, say, are threatened. Even still, a wise leader weighs the strength of her forces against that which must be subdued. And perhaps a diplomatic solution is better than sending men and women into a battle that cannot be won. Basic life-saving and rescue procedures dictate that the rescuer always stays at a safe distance, lest two lives be in peril. Unfortunately, the priority may be to not rescue the injured if the rescuing resources end up being additional casualties. Jesus tells these two little stories as a way to elucidate this comment he's made about hating father and mother, sister and brother, etc. Because Jesus isn't telling anyone to hate their family members. Rather, he's making a point about priorities and resources. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, he's talking about discipleship, about following him and his ways. And by the way, notice he's saying these things to the large crowds that have gathered around him. Imagine the scene for a moment. This isn't Jesus and the 12 disciples sitting under a tree. This is, by some estimations, over 5,000 people gathered, if the story of the loaves and fishes is any indication. And Jesus must assume that some of them are truly interested in committing their lives to this new world order that Jesus says God is bringing about. Jesus' priority is to convince people that he has something worth hitching your wagon to. But Jesus also knows that there are hundreds, thousands perhaps, of these groupies that are only in it for a free meal. They're only interested in seeing the next spectacular miracle or maybe getting their hands on some of that water turned to wine. And I suppose some of them are in the middle. Those who truly want to make a commitment but are worried about the cost. Those like the rich man who came to Jesus and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Do you remember how Jesus responded? Love God. Love your neighbor. The rich man knew it too. He said, yeah, I got all that. I got that down. No problem. But wait. One more thing, Jesus says. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the story says that the man went away very sad because he had many possessions. Jesus doesn't say these things in a literal way. This whole taking the Bible literally thing is really such a modern problem. Jesus and the people who wrote the Gospels knew enough about story to know that the best way to describe something is to over-describe it. And we do this too. Have you seen the new Top Gun movie? I had to go see it with a friend because my wife won't go see anything with Tom Cruise in it. But in the movie, Tom Cruise flies a fighter jet straight up the side of a mountain, pulling 8, 9, 10 G's, and then turns it around and evades enemy air-to-air missiles, surface-to-air missiles, only to land on an aircraft carrier with no front landing gear and no tow hook. And then he climbs out of his airplane, takes off his helmet to reveal perfectly gelled and styled hair. The point is not that any of these things can't happen. Well, not the hair thing. That's never going to happen. But the amazing members of our military certainly can and do these very things. The idea in the story, however, is to exaggerate to make a point. And the point needs to be made. I'm not completely sure about Top Gun, but good stories exist to inspire us, to teach us to set aside our fears and our limitations, and become the individuals that we were meant to be. Because real life is harder than any life lived in a story. And the life Jesus calls us to is hard. A Jesus who says, sure, come follow me. It's easy. You can even take time whenever you want to keep on doing all of the other things in your life you love doing. Well, that's a way too easy Jesus to follow. And so Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And he tells the rich person to go and sell everything he has. He tells Nicodemus that he's got to be born again. And he tells the crowds to hate their families if they're going to follow him. But Jesus also says to the lame man, walk. And to the woman whose daughter is sick, because of your faith, she is well. And Jesus tells the poor that they will be fed and the dying that they will live. Jesus says to Lazarus, who's been in the tomb 4 days, come out. And he says to the thief on the cross next to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus isn't interested in literal details. Jesus wants us to hear the glory and the hope and the abundance of the life that he comes to give us. And in order to do that, he's got to say some provocative things, if only just to get our attention. Priorities. How important is it that we take up our cross and follow Jesus for the sake of the sick and the dying and the poor and the marginalized and the lost? Pretty darn important. More important than absolutely everything in your life, including your life. There was a young woman named Kayla Mueller. She was a college student at Northern Arizona University, part of the Lutheran campus ministry there. Some of my pastor friends knew her during those days. Kayla longed to follow Jesus for the sake of the suffering people in our world. And so after college, she decided to go to Turkey to help Syrian refugees during that area's civil war about a dozen years ago now. It's hard to know exactly how the story played out in real life, but some say she traveled into Syrian territory with someone who was contracted with Doctors Without Borders. And it was not a wise thing to do. And since she didn't belong in such a dangerous place, Doctors Without Borders tried to get her back to someplace in Turkey. But the car she was traveling in was attacked by ISIS forces, and Kayla and others were taken captive. Kayla ended up being held in Aleppo, Syria for over 2 years. And over those 2 years, it's likely that she suffered unspeakable violence. And Kayla died in that place, either by a bomb that struck the building she was in, or more likely, she was executed by ISIS. Some say that Kayla foolishly threw away her life. But Kayla was in that part of the world helping people, risking her life, because of her commitment to Jesus and his call to pick up the cross and follow him. And like all who pick up a cross, the cross Jesus also carries. Kayla died because where the cross is, there also are those who are suffering. You don't build a tower without considering the cost. And you don't go to war unless you know you can win. And you need to know that picking up this cross will cost you your life. Maybe like Kayla, or maybe in some other way. But one way or another, it's as dire as turning your back on everything that you love the most, even your father and mother, son, brother, daughter, sister. But the good news is that joy and love and hope and salvation are found where there is suffering. Because true life and God's salvation don't come through building a tower or going to war or getting the next promotion or winning the next lottery jackpot. Life comes in sharing it with one another. Father, mother, sister, brother, but also neighbors, especially the strange ones, and even our enemies. Maybe even forgiving the ones who nail us to that cross Jesus expects us to carry. Amen.